Acts chapter 2. We had a wonderful fellowship, leaders fellowship in Denver 2 weeks ago, I guess it was. Yeah, there's your Bible right there. It was a great time, a very significant time. We heard a lot about what God's doing around different places in the country and how that God is really raising up men and women to have a desire to really move His Word the way God desires for it to be moved. And that was one of the big purposes, I guess, of that weekend, was to see that, to see, you know, how God was really raising people up, to have that kind of heart and desire, you know, to move His Word. And I wanted to look at Acts chapter 2 because I really believe that as we stay faithful to the basic principles of God's Word and doing it the way God wants it done, not the way men think it needs to be done, but the way God knows His Word can move and has prescribed for His Word to move, that there will be great outreach, because there will be great signs, miracles, and wonders in the lives of people. Because as we, who know what we are in Christ and what God has entrusted to us, as we know these things and begin to conduct ourselves in light of these things, we're going to bring deliverance not only to ourselves but to people around us. And God's power is going to be manifest in and through your life. And there will be great outreach because of that. Because wherever there's signs, miracles, and wonders, wherever there is great power manifest, there's great outreach. And I mean real outreach. I don't mean where someone builds a building that can house 20,000 people and 20,000 people show up within the next year. I mean genuine outreach where people are looking to God wholeheartedly, and they're looking to God expecting God to do miracles for them, expecting God to answer their prayers, expecting God to show Himself just as He did in the book of Acts, and to show His power through those who believe. After the day of Pentecost, there were about 3,000 souls that were added to the church. About 3,000. That's a lot of people in one day to get born again of God's Spirit. And it says in chapter 2, verse 42, this is what happened. They continued. This is like a general description of that church, that first century church, and what they did. Not because they were told this is what you have to do, but because this is what was in their heart to do. Once they heard of the great reality of redemption being now complete, that God had raised His Son from the dead, that He ascended and seated in the heavens, and shed forth the Holy Spirit to each and every one who believes. They, it says in verse 42, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. But the apostles were doing it first. As you proceed through the book of Acts, you begin to see that it wasn't reserved just for the apostles. That other believers began to see what they had in Christ and that they do have Spirit within them. They do have the ability to do the works that Jesus Christ did and greater. And they began also to heal, to deliver, to preach, to teach, just like Jesus Christ did. So, verse 44. And this section is tied together with the conjunction and, meaning it's a figure of speech. Whenever you use the word and a lot, and this, and that, and this, and that, it ties together each one of those and adds emphasis to each one. There's an emphasis for each one. Each item is important. And all verse 44 says, all that believed were together and had all things common. They were together, not just physically, that was part of it, but in heart also. And verse 45 says, they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all as every man had need. And, you know, they did this because they knew what they now had. And you know, a lot of people look at this and say, well, see, if I'm going to give, I'm just going to give wherever I see there's a need. But this, see, just because it says that right there does not, it doesn't reduce or eliminate the truth that these were men and women of Israel who had already been practicing tithing. They had already given the tenth that God had commanded them. That's why they were receiving of God. They'd already tithed like the law told them to tithe. And now they were just seeing that, wow, I can go above and beyond that because God has done such a great work here. All the things that the Old Testament has told us to look forward and look to and expect to come has now come. The Messiah has come. He's proved that He is the Messiah by raising Him from the dead. And so they said, oh, this is awesome. This is so awesome. And so they said, well, let's respond even more to God. They had all things common. They sold their possessions. And that's pro. They just didn't sell everything they had and move into a monastery. The things that they had over and above, the things that they needed, it says they sold them. And they parted to all men as had need. And verse 46, more, they continued daily with one accord in the temple. In that temple area, they continued there. Hey guys, come on in. Have a seat. We're in Acts chapter 2. We have the North Carolina contingency.
Yay.
So, they, verse 46, we'll keep reading, continued daily with one accord in the temple, because that was their common place of gathering. That was it's like the mall is today. You know, when the weather's hot, they go to the mall. They hang out. You know, that was a similar cultural thing to do. It wasn't that they were going every day to make offerings to God at the temple, but that was a communal place to be together, to meet together in the temple area. And in breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You know, those that were being saved day to day. There were many people coming to God. And it's because they began to see the power of God being manifest. They saw and heard the manifestation of speaking in tongues. They saw and heard the many signs, miracles, and wonders that were being done by the apostles. This was an important time. And this is how the Word of God can move today. There can be many that come to know the true God, really know God as their Heavenly Father, and really know the power of God, if those of us who do know it now will continue to conduct ourselves in light of it every day. You know, this is who we are. This is who God has called us to be. He's called us to be His sons. He has chosen us. That's what the Word of God says. If you believe God's Word, it says He's called you. He's called you. And He's encouraging us to, you know, like it says, you know, come out from among them. You know, like it said, that Old Testament prophecy was repeated, I think, in Romans somewhere or something. It's about, you know, it's like, don't be like them anymore. Don't be like those idiotic unbelievers anymore. You're a believer in the true God. You're filled with the power of God. Quit acting like you're not. You are. It is Christ in you. He'll empower you to move a mountain if it is in your way to glorify Him. And that's the key. If our lives have a desire to glorify God, you can move a mountain in order to do that. And we got to conduct ourselves this way. We have to think of ourselves the way God thinks of us now. That's what the renewing of the mind is all about. You know, you're no longer just a individual of body and soul. You have body, soul, and spirit. You are made whole. You are as close to the original design as can be in this day and time. Original design, you know. Adam and Eve. Yeah. Created in God's image. In the image of God created He them. Body, soul, and spirit. Having a complete open communication with your Heavenly Father. This is amazing stuff. And yet, you know, we get up in the morning and we trudge through another day, right? No, we shouldn't think that way anymore. We should think of ourselves as sons of God, called to reach the world with the power of God. This is only things that people that are lunatic do, right? No. In Denver, I was talking to Tommy Smith. He lives out there in California. And Tommy's he's an old biker guy, old hippie biker guy, and he just loves God. You know, my generation, Bob, you and me, and some of us older folks, you know, our generation, right?
Not Greg.
But you know, he's an old, you know, hippie guy. He's got tattoos all over the place. Tommy's a great, he has loved God for so long, you know, and he is just a lover. He's just, you get around Tommy, and he's just like, you know you're going to be loved. He just has such a tremendous heart for God, and he shows it, you know, to everyone, because he knows how much he's been loved by God, so he's not afraid to love anybody. Anyway, he's working at a pain management clinic at the VA. Yeah, kind of like a volunteer type thing. And because he's on disability from some, he's a veteran, you know, and all that business. And anyway, he's helping people, you know, manage, you know, pain from accidents and stuff. He had a really bad accident on his motorcycle, and he's been, you know, healed. I mean, he wasn't supposed to walk, or, you know, he got miraculously healed of that. And he knows how to go to God whenever he needs to in that category, you know. So he's trying to help these other men and women who are in, you know, similar situations, to look to God to get delivered, that they don't have to be in pain anymore, right? So this is like his ulterior motive, right? He's in there working the system, but he's looking for avenues and open doors to minister the word. Anyway, he did minister to one person, and this person got healed, like no more pain, right? And the administrators of the program asked the guy, well, what do you mean you don't need to come back? What do you mean you're healed? You're in pain. I mean, people like you that have gone through what you've gone through, you're in pain. No, I'm healed. Well, how did that happen? Well, Tommy healed me. And so, so these guys, the administrators of this program, are like, Tom, we need to have a word. Can we have a word? Look, Tommy, look, we really love you. We know you're really enthusiastic about being here and helping and all that. But, you know, I don't know about this, you know, healing thing. You know, we'd like for you to sit with, the psychiatrist. I said, so they think you have a Jesus complex, huh? And he says, yeah, they do. He said, I just told them the truth. I said, I do it because the Bible says I can. I do it because Jesus Christ said I can. So he goes, okay, he's like, look, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you a little bit more money, but to offset going to the shrink, but we want you to, you know, make an appointment or two with the shrink. But we'll get you a little more money to cover, you know, a consistent, like, sit down with the shrink every week. So anyway, as it turns out, Tommy's getting extra money for his disability, quote-unquote disability, and he's humoring the shrink. See, the world will think that you're crazy. That's my point. God thinks, that's my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. You know you can do what my Son Jesus Christ did? I'm proud of you. Do it. Do it. That's how the Word of God is really going to move, when we conduct ourselves this way. And it's all through the book of Acts, these same principles, you know, that are listed here, are all through there. You know, this is what God's called us to. We don't have to be ashamed of it. We don't have to be afraid of it. There's nothing to be ashamed of. You know, the world will want you to be feel ashamed of being a Christian, let alone being one that actually believes what he professes to believe. The world will want to discourage you from that. But everywhere you go in the Word of God is nothing but encouragement to do, encouragement to believe, encouragement to conduct your life in light of this truth. When you go out there and you pray, you expect God to open doors for you and to bless your life and to give you the answer to your prayer. When you go and you get with believers, you have a heart to contribute with what God has put within you, with Spirit, that power within you. See? You seek an occasion to minister, to encourage, to comfort with the truth. That's what they did. They were all together. They had all things common. They said, what do you need? I'll help you. They gave. It says in Acts chapter 4, look at Acts chapter 4. This is after they had a little bit of opposition because they got out there and tried to you know, continue to do what God had called them to do. They were doing it. Signs, miracles, and wonders were following. They got a little bit of opposition from the unbelievers, from the world. And they got together and they prayed. And they said, you know, like the prayer in Acts chapter 4, verse 24, you know, after they were let go, you know, the authorities had arrested them and told them not to do it anymore. And they let them go. And then they got together with the fellowship. Being let go, they went, verse 23 says, to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, You're God, and we're going to turn our hearts to You. And they prayed. And they prayed for God to continue to open doors for them. They prayed that God and the power of God would stay off these unbelievers and still continue to preach and to teach and to heal. Now, Lord, verse 29 says, behold their threatenings, and grant unto Thy servants that with all boldness they may speak Thy word. With all boldness, freedom to speak, just speak the truth. In the face of unbelief, speak what's true to believe. Oh, the world's falling apart. Speak the truth. God's still God. God's still able to take care of His own. You trust God, God will provide for you. Speak the truth. That is the truth. Oh, it's hard to find a job. No, it's not. God's got cattle on 1,000 hills. I'm sure He'll give you something. One guy, Pepe Diaz, shared a great... He just shared some great stuff. He looked at Genesis and how that when God first made form and created man, put him in the garden, He gave him a job to do. But He also gave him everything he needed to do the job. Very simple. What has He called us to do? He's given us everything we need to do the job. To be His sons and daughters and bring glory to God. Huh? He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. What is that? That's the ministry, the service of putting people back together with God. Not connecting them with a denomination or sending them to the right church, but connecting them to God. Getting them reconciled with their Heavenly Father. That's what God's called all of us to do. We can all do that one by one. Each one of us. That's what we do. And He's given us everything we need to do it. He has to provide. He's made us ambassadors, right? That means you have an expense account. Ambassadors don't just they aren't just sent out there to some foreign country having to fend for themselves. Right? They have an expense account. They have everything they need. What's more, they have all the authority of the government that sent them. We're ambassadors for Christ. We have all the authority of the One who has sent us to reconcile, and we also have everything we need to do it. We should expect that. We shouldn't expect anything less. It continues in verse 32. They spoke the Word of God, and it says in verse 32 that multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. They were of one heart and one soul. You know, they all had the same desire. They just wanted for God to get the glory. They just wanted for more and more people to see what they knew to be true. Neither of any of them aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the prices of the things which were sold, laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made to every man according as he had need. I don't know why it says it twice. You got any guesses? Why it talks about that twice?
First,
absolutely, Bernie, that's absolutely right. You see, because the Word of God can't move unless those that are called and have a desire to do it full-time can do it full-time. And there is a response there. There was a response of those people out of their heart to say, you know what, this is more important. This is more important. The things of God are more important to move, to get out there. So here you go. Apostles, take care of it. Here you go. Move the word. And they distributed as every man had need. You know, they took care of the fellowship of believers. They made sure everybody was blessed. But they brought it to the apostles first and said, you guys, figure it out. And that falls in line with the Old Testament tithe. The Old Testament tithe was to show people to honor God, that it was all God's. And God says in the Old Testament, 10% is mine anyway, so what are you doing with it? 10% of everything in the field, 10% of everything in your houses, 10% of everything is the Lord's. So give it back to Him. Okay. I said, okay. Why not? And in a practical sense, you can't give it to God, but they gave it to the Levites who were responsible for the things of the temple. They did not have jobs. They did not own property. They had no other way to support themselves outside of the tithe. That's how God set it up. And they could be fully focused on the things of God that needed to be done. All right? They're carrying it through. They're saying, okay, well, we've already done that. Now, we're going to make sure that things move. We're going to make sure of this. And they had a heart and a desire. They weren't told they had to. They did it. Because they saw the big picture. And the result of it, the apostles were free to move, and there was great power. Great power, which gave great witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that what we desire? We want people to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God raised His Son Jesus Christ from the dead, because therein lies their salvation. If they will but believe that in their heart and confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus, then they shall be saved. And once they're saved, they can begin to have a relationship with their Heavenly Father. And they can have a life which is more than abundant. They can be the more than conquerors that God has called them to be. See? As we conduct ourselves in light of these great truths, this is the truth. This is who we are. Then we too will see great signs, miracles, and wonders. We too will see an outreach of the Word. You know, like we desire. From house to house. House to house. See? All right, so Father, thank You for continuing to back up the promises of Your Word. Thank You, Father, that as we see these great truths in Your Word, that we have no other response but great joy and great humility before You for having called us to be a part of such an exciting time in history where we can represent Your Son, Jesus Christ. We can walk as those sons and daughters that You've called us to be and expect You to provide everything that You've promised for us in Your Word. Thank You, Father, that as we conduct ourselves in light of these things, that great signs, miracles, and wonders follow us. Thanks, Father, for opening doors for us. Thank You, God, for continuing to open the eyes of our understanding so that we can do those things that You've called us to do. Thanks, Father, for these things. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ. All right. I'd like to pray for the abundant sharing, okay? Yeah. You know, those records in Acts are really incredible. Because it's a description of what can be and what is happening. Like, those are the things that are happening in India. Those are the things that are happening anywhere where there's people really acting on the truth of the Word and practicing it, expecting God to do His part. So, and it is important, for us to abundantly share. It's very important, because it's part of our life. God grants us life. God grants us strength, and He grants us the things that come into our life if we realize that everything's God's anyway. So, it's an important part of our life. It's what God instructed His people to do to honor Him. It's not a law, but it says, God loves a cheerful giver, not a one that's in not someone who's in bondage. It's not about bondage. It's about our heart being thankful to God. And that's why we make it available for you to abundantly share, because we know that fruit will abound to your account if you do that. If you conduct yourself in light of the reality that God is everything about your life, that with God you can do all things. Without Him, it's a struggle. But with Him, He will glorify you. He will exalt you in due time if we honor Him. And that's what abundant sharing is all about. So, and, it helps move the Word. It's what, it helps do the work of the ministry. Get it done. So, all right, Father, thanks for your many, many blessings. Thank you for our hearts being open to you and our desire to give back, Father, that as we see your many blessings, we continue to remain thankful for them. Thanks, Father, for blessing the gifts back to the givers and continuing to do what you have promised to do. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ, amen.